Yes, very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listeners. How are you? How are you this morning? How are you doing this morning, my dear listeners? Welcome to Eagle FM. If you're just joining us, if you were not tuned in from the early morning scoop, thank you, Mr. David, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of eight. This is Unpacking the Day, and we start from now on until the hour of 10 o'clock. So my name is Michael Chauvelin, and you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the light, through the noise, to make sense of the big stories and trends and numbers that are actually making headlines. You know, we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. Our time is 4 minutes past the hour eight. Today is the 4th of September. So what happened on this day in the history of Africa? Let's get to our first segment on unpacking the day on this day in Africa. So, on September the 4th in 1957, Ghana became the first African nation to achieve independence from white colonial rule, making a significant moment in African history, with Kwame Nkrumah leading the country's path to self-governance. So this event was a crucial step in the Pan-African movement, championed by Nkrumah, who promoted the idea of united and free Africa. So on the very same day, in Kenya, on the 4th of September 2023, the African Climate Summit officially opened in Nairobi, Kenya, on September the 4th in 2023, bringing together head of state and government and international organization, and climate stakeholders to address the continent's climate challenges. So the summit marked a pivotal event in Pan-African environmental diplomacy and effort towards a climate resilience. So yes, that's all what we have today. That's all what we have today on this day in Africa. Those are just some of the significant event in the history of Africa. Okay, on this day in Africa. So Thursday, September the 4th, what is our thought for the day? Our thought for the day is time is money. I think we say that quite often. Time is money. Now, if your time could be used to earn money, if your time you could use to earn money, spending that time on unproductive task means you are missing out on potential earnings. So, in other words, idle time has a cost you may not always notice. So, in essence, it suggests that every moment spent idle could have been used to create, you know, to create value, achieve goals, or generate income. So, underscoring the need to prioritize task and avoiding procrastinations. So, time is money. So, hopefully, today, the decision that you make and choices you make throughout the course of the day today would be, you know, prioritizing, you know, making sure that, you know, you use your time productively, because missing out, you know, when you are idle, idle time has a cost. Sometimes you may not even always notice. So hopefully that helps you, the way you make choices and decisions today. Time is money. That's our thought for the day. So good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So what we're going to have today, in a short minutes, I'm going to speak to somebody on financial inclusions. And then after that, also around 8:45, I will also speak to my colleague still on the same topic, my colleague Hende on the same topic. And we will also have other issues that we talk. And I will allow you now to come and have your comments on some of the discussions that we have. So I don't have much time with this person because he has to be in the conference, in the forum in Swakopmund. So let's quickly grab him for a few minutes that we have and then see what he has to say. So stay tuned. We will be back in a few minutes.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikawa shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyawo atonda mbote samoni anage shifa ya Namibia omjo mbo nila omjika zaifa nina omayakuro nirandito mwa iye yonge shifa lewa kutikiramo ike lefo Namibia House mbo itende kino neha uo kakombanga nina kara omkushi pregi yimoto yomo programa netu moambo dengo na selma kodara hita kimo datunda tu hewari kamano tano oliyaji ike lefem so hai.
Yes, a very good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And as Namibia gathers under the auspices of the inaugural Alliance for Financial Inclusion, AFI, Global Policy Forum, it is fitting to reflect on what financial inclusion truly means for our nation. So, to dive deep into this vital issue, we are joined by Elvin Naimwaka, a Deputy Director of International Affairs and Financial Sector Development at the Bank of Namibia. Good morning, Mr. Naimwaka. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, I believe you are just about to get into the forum at 8:30. So we have a few minutes actually to talk to you, and thanks for having you on Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, you know, there are always new concepts, you know, and one of the concepts that we're hearing now is financial inclusion. So, you know, in simple terms, how would you define financial inclusion for someone actually listening right now?
Yes, thank you very much. And when we are talking about financial inclusion, we are really talking about accessibility to financial services for everyone in a society. Now, what does this accessibility entail? So entails access to financial services, and I need to emphasize that now when we talk about financial services, most of the time we just reflect on having a bank account. You know, access is much deeper than that. There are other financial services such as your insurance, such as investments, and so on. So we are referring to access to all these things.
Mm.
The second aspect then we are dealing with understanding literacy about financial services. So in order for you to be able to seek access, for example, you must be aware, you must be, so all these things are captured in under the financial, financial inclusion. So education in terms of financial literacy. And then the third aspect is protection of the consumers that are accessing financial services. So that's what financial inclusion is all about. For example, you would hear now that somebody's account was accessed, the person is calling you, telling you, enter this, press star, what, all these things. We need to make sure that people that are accessing financial services, people that have got their money saved somewhere with a bank or with an investment program and so on, their money is safe. And if something happens, there are mechanisms for them to be able to be helped so that that issue is addressed or their money is recovered or whatever the case may be. So that's what we are talking about when we are talking about financial inclusion. Now, again, in terms of access, we are looking at how do we ensure that we are able to, or that financial services are able to be extended to everyone.
Yeah,
to the remotest of the corners of our country and so on.
Yeah.
And here we are saying technology is making life very easy, and we have to look at how do we exploit the technology so that we allow financial services to be accessible to all that needs, all those that need to access financial services. And let me, for example, use an example of the most popular activity in Namibia in relation to financial inclusion. Let's say as a bean owner or a kuka shop owner. Now, how do they relate to financial inclusion, for example? These guys face risks. Various risks, for example, that they can, their shebeen can be broken into, or the hookah shop can be broken into.
Yeah.
Sometimes the shopkeeper runs away with the sales of the day and so on. Now this guy can still be able to continue with his business if, for example, he had insurance cover for these things. So all these are aspects and part of financial inclusion that we are talking about.
Okay, actually, you when you mentioned someone who have either a cooker shop or something. So Namibia has a really a large informal sectors. How can financial inclusion truly then help people move now from informal economic activities to more formal secure opportunities?
Yes, indeed, transitioning from informal to formal, and just in general, growing one's business
exactly.
Can be addressed through financial inclusion by what it does or what it meant to be done, so that they are included.
Yeah.
So again, here, if I were to use an example of a small business owner.
Mm.
The lady having her car stall in the street, selling her tomatoes and vegetables and ice and so on. So she makes her sales. She makes her sales on a daily basis, and then she goes home. She keeps her money, and she has made some money.
Yeah,
she keeps her money wherever she stores it, in like a blackie or under the
mattress,
under the mattress, and so on.
Yeah.
Now, because she doesn't have a bank account, she doesn't have a speed point, and so on. There is no record to reflect that she is generating income.
Yeah.
And now she needs to expand. She needs to say, no, I need to buy a better table. I'm selling more. I need to increase my capacity in terms of my storage at my small store and so on.
Mm.
She goes to the bank. She needs a table cost 800. The bank says, hey, how can you prove that you'll be able to pay for this table if I give you an $800 loan?
Mm.
She has nothing because there's no record for her to reflect that.
Yeah.
So now with financial inclusion, we're saying get access, get a bank account or with digital money now through the cell phone or whatever, there is a trail that will be able to be helpful for you. So therefore you are able to access credit and therefore be able to grow your business and therefore move into a formal setup. So from a financial inclusion point of view, again, that is how financial inclusion can support or will be able to help us in ensuring or in formalizing these informal activities. So one of the challenges related to informal activity is data. And if we continue and we are able to have these guys have access to bank account, other financial services, they are able to create a credit history that is helpful to them and so on. And that will be able then to complement all other efforts that are being undertaken to support, for example, SMEs and so on.
Yeah. So now if we look, you know, at the bigger picture now. So how does a more financially inclusive society ultimately contribute to the overall economic growth and stability of the country?
Yes, if you look at it from that broader picture, again, financial inclusion is not only just about access to financial services. It's really about participation in economic activities.
Mm.
You will only be able to access financial services or have a need for financial services if you are participating in economic activity. So therefore, from that broad level, is these things are mutually reinforcing.
Yeah.
You have to have an income and therefore you need financial services. When you are able to access financial services, you are able to improve your income, to expand your business, to expand your income and improve your livelihood.
Mm.
And as we know, all these things are very critical in terms of stability in the first place, and also then in terms of growth and economic growth and development. So therefore, again, we emphasize financial inclusion as a very important and critical aspect of our development.
Yeah. And then we're always looking at poverty is one of the problem in Namibia. So, and hoping we could, then we want to think that could financial, you know, inclusion be a powerful tool in reducing poverty in Namibia?
Yes, indeed it is. And in my previous response, I talked about employment creation, livelihood and so on. We recently conducted a study, which is a financial inclusion aspect in terms of how can we support our small-scale farmers in rural areas.
Mm.
From the green finance side of things, and there, for example, we found that, for example, farmers rely on rain-fed activities. Our subsistence, a large part of our rural household, rely on subsistence farming.
Mm.
Rain-fed. Now we have seen what climate change is doing. The rain patterns have changed.
Yeah.
They are irregular. Sometimes we have just We have just in the over the last 10 years, we have how many droughts episodes?
Yeah, of droughts.
So, of droughts. So it becomes very difficult for these households to sustain lives. Then they rely on government drought support and drought relief, emergency relief, and so on, which also become a burden for government also, which is facing limited resources. So therefore, we're looking at how can small-scale farmers, for instance, look at adaptive ways, or how can they be supported to adapt adaptive ways in terms of irrigation and so on, in terms of livestock support. Again, your issues of insurance come into play and so on, so that even when these calamities happen, they are still able to live, because there is that cushion from the insurance, but also that they are now also able to still continue with this activity even in the face of the drought because of the irrigation. But then this speaks to water provision and so on. So therefore, again, financial inclusion is important from that perspective, and the mechanism that it directly relates to the communities.
Yeah. All right. Because of time, and I'll probably, you know, the conference is coming to the end tomorrow, I think, and we will try actually to catch up with you probably on Monday to really tease out and look out and go into detail on some of the aspect that we couldn't be able to do today. So, but finally, with the AFI Global Policy Forum happening right now, what key messages about Namibia's financial inclusion journey would you want to share with the Namibian and with the world?
Yes, this morning the main event is happening just now at 8:30, starting today, and as part of the program, Namibia will be showcasing its financial inclusion journey, the progress that we have made, the challenges that we have faced. And generally, just to say that Namibia is committed to financial inclusion. We see it as a key and critical, as critical for our development, and through the AFI network, we leverage the collaboration so that we come up with financial inclusion initiatives that will be impactful, and especially as we implement our new financial sector transformation strategy, you will see that through the financial sector transformation strategy, the pillars that we have, the financial inclusion is a key. Is interwoven through all those pillars, and that's because we believe that it will be able to assist us to be able to make a meaningful impact.
No. At this point in time, we really thank you for making time. I mean, we understand you have to be in they will be starting now. So, but we will come back to you. As I said, probably Monday we'll get back to you and look really deeper into some of the issues that we couldn't actually be able to discuss at this point in time. And thank you again for shedding light and for making time for us to explain to us what financial inclusion is all about and how does that actually mean for us Namibian. Thank you for making time.
No, thank you very much. You're most welcome.
All right.
So.
All right. That was Mr. Elvin Naimwaka, the Deputy Director of International Affairs and Financial Sector Development at the Bank of Namibia. So, because of time, we have plenty of questions. So that I would have loved to ask him, but we will definitely. I think the conference or the forum will end tomorrow, and then we will try to catch him up. I mean, to to get back to them on Monday or Tuesday, just to get to some nitty-gritty of financial inclusions. So, yeah. It was a short interview that we have. Well, your reaction, you're most welcome to react to that. Later on, I will have my colleague, Hente Walenga, business development manager. I will be speaking to him on the same topic, because he has been, you know, talking to many people. He has been actually discussing financial inclusion for a while on some of his shows that he have. So I will be discussing with him as well, just to hear his understanding, his perspective of financial inclusion as well. That's coming up at 8:45. So make sure that you stay tuned. But I'm inviting you now to come through at this point in time and have your view on maybe your reaction to some of the things Mr. Haimwaka probably mentioned, or your perspective, or your general perspective on what do you think financial inclusion is all about. So, and I was reading the newspaper, and, you know, I come across this as part of the financial inclusion, actually an editorial that was done by, what was the newspaper? Done by, I think it's Observer. And it has, it has a different take on financial inclusion. And I think it's worth looking at some of the things that they're pointing out. Because then when we hear like what we hear now from Mr. Naimwaka, and probably what we're going to hear from my colleague, Hende. So there is this editorial is looking at social, financial justice, you know, and, it's worth looking at some of the aspects out of, from that article, actually. So very, very, very interesting. And I thought, well, that's a different side, that looking at a different angle, rather than probably what you're hearing from the bank, like from someone from the Bank of Namibia, or from someone who is experiencing, who is a consumer or something like that. It's a very interesting take, and I want us to look at that as well. So thanks for joining us. Our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 8. And this is Unpacking the Day. And today we're talking about financial inclusion. So far, we had just an interview with Mr. Ervin Naimwaka, a senior officer at the Bank of Namibia. Now, so let me give you some, a little bit of a background as well, for us we get a broader understanding of what we're talking about and then where we are. So before I get into this article that I'm talking about, or this editorial I'm talking about, this article that I'm talking about. Oh, there's a caller that's coming through. Let's probably get to him and hear what he has to say. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm good.
Mm.
Mike, financial inclusion.
Yeah.
I'll preface this by saying that, you know, I tend to follow the libertarian ideology when it comes to government and the stance of what government
should be.
What
is a libertarian ideology?
The libertarian ideology is that, you know, the primary objective of government is to provide more and more liberty to its citizens. And so the best government is no government, right?
Mm.
But obviously, given our situation, that is not, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I heard you played back. Yeah. So anyway, so for the best government, the second best thing, instead of there being no government, the second best option would be to have a government that is limited.
Mm.
Very, very limited. And if it's a government that is...
Well, that's limited in what sense, Anonymous?
It's playing again.
Yeah.
I can hear myself. The recording is playing itself again.
Oh, but on my side, there's nothing actually wrong. Do you have a device that...
I think I know what it might be.
Yeah.
It's because the app was on.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it was playing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so on my... I think that the government's aim should always be to limit itself, to make itself smaller, and to limit its reach, limit its jurisdiction, and that's where you get the best government, because then people have more liberty, they are more free to do certain things, and then financial inclusion is a possibility. Right now, just because you're participating doesn't mean that you're included. There's a difference. If I participate in a game, right, but I participate under your strict constraints, and your strict confinement, right, am I really included? No, I'm only included to the point that you say I should be in, and that point may be disadvantaged to me. For instance, I'll give you an example.
Mm.
I have to go to Fruit and Veg to buy the vegetables that I need to eat.
Mm.
Why? You won't give me land so that I can have enough, because I can't afford very expensive land. I can't afford a commercial farm.
Mm.
So you won't allow me to go and take land that is open and free. You call that state land. And if I settle there, you say I'm a squatter. I'm illegal, right? You bring the police to come and bulldoze my shack or my garden or my whatever it is.
Mm.
That is not financially inclusive. This is where the idea comes from, that government has to limit itself.
I think I agree with you, because I'm thinking, if financial inclusion from the bank point of view, from their aspect, is that, you know, if I open an account for you, so if I open an account for you, that means you are on my I can think of that, you know, you are financially included, you know, because just you open an account. But I may not have money actually to use that account. That account could actually stay dormant, you know.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah,
you got it. You got it. That is not financial inclusion.
Then it's not financial inclusion, because I'm not using it to create wealth. You understand?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Then it's not actually. So, and in many cases, that is happening in this country. Yeah.
I would say all the cases, except for the very rich.
Yeah.
All the cases, except for people who are very, very, very rich. They are included in they are financially included, but we are not. We are just participants. We are what did my son call it? NPCs. We are NPCs.
Yeah,
my son says that in a game there are characters that are non-playing characters.
Yeah,
right. NPC, and that's what we are. We are in the game, but we're not part of the game. We are just the background noise.
Yeah, no, I didn't have enough time with him. I asked some question that I felt maybe need to answer, but I will probably get him again. One thing that I have a problem, even if I look at my account now, I'm kind of like, what does that account does for me? Besides, okay, the transferring money, you know, besides sending money to the other person, paying, maybe be able to pay, you know, but what does it in itself, it doesn't create wealth for me.
Uh-huh.
That account, because doesn't.
Yeah. And if you don't give me access, what is access? Like if for instance, I'll give you an example. There's a place outside of Office Bay on your way to go to Swakopmund.
Yeah.
Right? If you go, not the back road, the along the beach road. There's a place where everybody goes and, they go and they run there in the afternoon. People from Kwisepe, people from Naraval, they run there. You know, it's become sort of like a training ground. It's very flat, open land, and it's available land, but that land is called state land.
Mm.
So what they did is they created some land on the way to the, this is the part, different part, on the way to the airport. It's called Farm 37.
Yeah.
If you go to Farm 37 and east weather is going, you'll be blown away.
Mm.
Literally. That place is so harsh in the conditions that you have to live through.
Yeah.
But there's this land where that is available. When the east wind blows, it's not that bad. It's just like you're in Walvis Bay.
Yeah.
They cannot use that land for Farm 37, to give people land, but they have to ship them out about 10 kilometers out of the town center, more than 10 kilometers, right? So that they can have land.
Mm.
That's not financial inclusion. You've excluded me.
Yeah.
You excluded me from playing the game called the economy, part of the game called the economy. You've excluded me, and then you've also put barriers against me. You've put shackles on my feet. You've enslaved me, literally.
Mm.
Because if you are saying that I have no right to any land, although government never bought a single piece of land, I have no right to land, right? God created land. I have no right to it.
Yeah.
Only the government has that, and they can do whatever they want with it, and they can give it at their will and kindness. So if they don't want that, or maybe certain people are not benefiting, then no one can get it.
Mm.
Even though the land is there. That's why when they say there's no land, we all shake our heads and go, you are crazy. Don't you see all of this open land? And then the municipality will tell you, no, that is state land.
Yeah.
Why should the state have land? especially if that land is not being made useful. But now, just think of this. What will happen to our economy if the state gives out more free land for people to be able to get free land? Then you can get a bigger plot of land, and you can grow your tomato, you can grow your potato. And what then happens then? Then we start importing less tomatoes and less potatoes from South Africa. And what happens then? Well, then that means less of our money goes to South Africa. Less, we keep more of our money in our own economy, because we're not having to buy potato and tomato from South Africa. I can grow my cucumbers in my yard, but I don't even have a yard because I've got to rent for somebody's backyard because you have state land.
But to have a state land, it makes sense in a way that, you know,
how?
Okay, and I'm not talking from the legal point of view. I'm talking just from what I'm thinking. Okay.
Okay.
So
okay.
Is that if we leave it like anyone can grab that and can grab as much as they want, if there isn't any regulator somehow, you know, I think it's a state land as a regulator rather than as it owns it. You understand? So because if anybody just grab, you know, some would be more greedy and grab more, and even if the government want to develop something, wouldn't, it's a private land. You know, how do you then?
The only people who are that greedy are the politicians. It is not true that people would grab land, because if, you know, once the commodity becomes free, and it doesn't mean that, you know, it's anybody can get anything. All you have to do is
it would be those who have money.
But these people are not saying that we are regulating. No, they are hindering and putting a barrier for you not to get. There's a difference between regulating. Look, if I say, okay, here's land, it's available to anybody, but we want to register each person, okay, you are taking this land, where does your land begin, where does your land, oh, here it is, okay, here, write your name here, now it's your land, you, no cost to you, we're moving on, we're doing our job because we're part of government, you don't have to pay for that, let's move on. That's regulation. But when you say, no, you can't have it, and I ask you, why can't I have it? You say, no, because it's state land. So what does that mean? It means it belongs to the state. And if it belongs to the state, why can't I have it? I thought you said that the power of the people shall be, the power of the people is vested in government. And if the people remove the power from government, then it belongs to the people again. No, this is the constitution talking now, right? And if you say that, are you not just fooling me? Because you go around and you say, no, state land, for the sake of doing nothing more than keeping me poor, keeping me hostage, and then giving advantage to those people that have the money.
Mm.
And the majority of the people that have the money are the descendants of the people that came here to these shores, right? The diamonds on the, as you see the old pictures, the diamonds used to lie on the beach like sweets. and you know, that's how rich the land was. It's true. It just used to like they used to pick it up.
You just pick it up on the shores, ne?
Yeah, yeah. And these guys came here. They by the barrel of the gun, they oppressed people, they killed people, they took land and farms by the barrel of the gun. And those are the very people that you are still empowering. Now, I'm not saying that we should, you know, go on some witch hunt or whatever it is. I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm saying that leave that aside. Leave the land that they have with them. But what I'm saying is you are compounding that effect by hindering me, the one that you called previously disadvantaged. I don't even use that thing, previously disadvantaged, because it seems to me that if you are previously disadvantaged, they want to keep you disadvantaged. They just want to identify who's previously at disadvantage so he can remain currently disadvantaged as well.
If you remain disadvantaged, it's benefiting some people.
They are, yeah, exactly. Mm. And they are keeping you disadvantaged by doing what? By having things like state land. State should not have land. Should it have land? What does it do to have land? All they are just pencil pushers and paper filers. That's all they do. They don't actually create anything. They don't make anything. The meme who's making food at the construction sites, she's adding something to the economy because these guys can now get food, right? At a very, very cheap price. They can get food and they can work, and then that is what drives the building or the construction of that house or that building. So she's adding to the... But the people who are sitting in parliament and calling ministers that black thing or whatever it is, yeah, those people are adding nothing.
We have a commercial coming up, but also we're going for another interview again, okay?
No problem, no problem. Okay. But I'm just trying to say, Javi, please, yeah. let's get it right. What is included?
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of faith.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. Uh-huh. And I will not.
All right. Well, I grew up in Ongwe Diva. Good morning and welcome back. Good morning, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Right now, the eyes of the financial world are on our beautiful country, the land of the brave, down in Swakop, where the desert meet the sea. Leaders from over 60 nations have gathered for the first ever Alliance for Financial Inclusion Global Policy Forum, held in for the first time in Southern Africa. So in the conference hall in Swakopmund, the conversation around money, who has it, who can access it, and on what term is loud than ever. So, But on here, on Unpacking the Day, we want to bring it home. You know, we want, what do all these higher level talks in a conference hall actually mean for the street vendor in Katutura, the farmer in the Zambezi region, or the student in Kidmanshoop? So that's the question we are asking today. What does the financial inclusion really mean for Namibians? Now, to help us unpack this further, we are joined by Hende Walenga, a business development manager here at Eagle FM. Hende, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Dr. Mike. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Now, you have been actually discussing this topic on here on Eagle FM. So,
yes.
So let me ask you, when you say financial inclusion, from your perspective and understanding, what does that actually look like for an ordinary person listening right now?
So financial inclusion, in short, is just the ability for the citizens of a country to have access to various financial services, and as your previous guest said, the access to capital as well. So the ability for the everyday person, me and you, the person, the rural farmer, the person on the street selling their products, the ability for that person to be able to access financial services, whether it's to deposit their cash, whether it's to send money to someone else, or whether it's to have a bank account to run their business, things of that nature, to buy electricity, to buy airtime. That's what we mean when we say when they say financial inclusion.
Yeah, and that from that perspective. Now, what is the biggest challenge the average Namibian faces today when it comes now to, you know, banking and managing their money, you know, when it comes to that. What is the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is understanding the various services that are available to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the topic of financial literacy comes into play as well.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't help if all these services are available, but if we don't understand what they mean or how to use them, then we can't be fully financially included. So financial literacy is probably one of the biggest challenges when it comes to financial inclusion.
Do the bank deliberately, and I'm using that word also deliberately, do the bank leave us in ignorance deliberately by not, you know, engaging in financial literacy so that in the way we don't know what we can access and what we can't access. We are more ignorant because, you know, this information could be available, but how could that be made more accessible to who need it?
Yeah, no, I think when I was speaking about the banks, I think they are trying their hardest to make sure that people understand their products. I mean, that's why you hear them on platforms such as Eagle FM explaining what financial literacy is, where you can access it through their various platforms. But it also has to be the two have to meet each other halfway in a way.
Mm.
As people, we also need to make a deliberate effort to seek out these services, to try to understand these services and understand the basics when it comes to finances as well.
Yeah. So now let's talk about the small businesses. That's our focus here most of the time. So
yeah.
How could better financial inclusion change the game for a Kapana seller, a local tailor, or a small tour operator, for example?
Yeah, I think how better financial inclusion could change it for them is for them to simply know or to make use of the services that we mentioned that the banks are providing. So, for example, if a challenge for you is you're selling your product in an area that's, you know, very rural, for you to know that you either can become a cash plus agent, for example, or you to find your nearest cash plus agent to remove the barrier of having to travel, you know, hundreds of kilometers to just, whether it's deposit $1,000 or send $1,000 to maybe your son that needs it at school or things like that. So I think just the the access to these services is a big game changer for the small business owners.
Yeah. Now, with that technology comes also risk, and this is something that you normally discuss. I even hear this from F&B segment. How do we help our elders or other vulnerable people use this new digital tool safely without falling for scams?
Yeah, as I said, it comes with the consumption of this knowledge that's readily available.
Mm.
And that's been a big topic at this forum is the rise in digital services, the rise in AI tools and things like that. That has to come regulation as well. So for one, the services have to be safe to begin with. And then when people use these services, they need to know what to look out for, to know that what is a dangerous message that you're receiving, what is a legitimate message that you're receiving, whether it's from the bank, whether it's from your business partner.
Mm.
So it's a long educative journey. It's not something that you read today and understand tomorrow. It's something that it's a lifelong journey, really. Because you'll be surprised. Even the most high level of officials fall to these various scams. So it's a continuous education journey that needs to be done.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the other aspect the forum is talking about is it's empowering society. Beyond just having a bank account, how does financial, and you have alluded to that, how does financial inclusion empower a person in their daily life and the choices that they make on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think financial inclusion empowers you in the sense that simply that you have access to tools that allow you to not just conduct business but live everyday life. As I said, financial inclusion includes being able to buy electricity. It includes being able to buy your groceries. So if you're financially included, you're able to live life essentially on a day-to-day basis. Mm. So that's why, all these hundreds of people are here in Swakop to discuss how to achieve that on a global level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and like I did ask Mr. Naimwaka, a lot of our economies is informal. You know, how can we bring the informal sector into the fold without burdening them, or burdening them with taxes and paperwork? They aren't ready for maybe some of the people in the rural area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very big question, and it's a question that I've heard being asked by several people here at the forum.
Yeah,
is to figure out ways to accommodate the people that you're speaking about, for example. And one of the more interesting talks that I was able to listen to was from a woman from Mongolia.
Mm.
And she explained that actually that Mongolia is the most sparsely populated country in the world. And second is Namibia.
Yeah.
And she explained that although it's the most sparsely populated country, she said over 80% of their country lives in rural areas. So the people that you are speaking about now.
Yeah.
And that although that is the condition of their country, 98% of the population has access to financial services.
Yeah.
And that interestingly, only 2% of their money supply is hard cash.
Mm-hmm.
So, they were able to figure out a way to give access to financial services to their people, and that through their central bank, they looked at their country, they decided that they looked at their country, they studied the demographics, and they found a solution to giving access to their largely rural population. So I think it's the duty of the central banks, the governments, and the other financial institutions to work together to study their countries and figure out a way to make sure that everyone is financially included, especially those in rural areas.
Yeah, and the other thing is that in the rural areas, where there is, where there is poor network coverage, now, how can now digital finance work for them if they can't get a reliable signal?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because another talk that I was able to listen to here is that financial inclusion actually has to also mean electricity inclusion.
Yeah.
that the two go hand in hand. And as we know that Africa is, electricity is a big problem for a majority of the country. So, you know, finding various ways to one, not only bring financial services, but bring electricity to these areas, whether it's through your, you know, solar powered, initiatives or other green initiatives, is that once you bring electricity to these areas, then financial, services can be brought to those areas as well.
Yeah. So the other thing is the youth, you know, we have a very youthful population. So what are the biggest financial opportunities and maybe risk as well facing young Namibian today in terms of financial inclusion?
I think the main one that most of us will be able to recognize is obviously simply just the access to capital or access to finances. How can we make sure that the youth are included in accessing various forms of capital? I mean, the government is trying now, for example, with the National Youth Fund that we've been hearing a lot about, and just to make sure that they are included in the conversation as well. As we know, Africa is the youngest continent in the world. So if you are developing these various tools for financial inclusion, they automatically have to include the youth.
And I look at the list of discussion. I don't know whether it was yesterday or today. There is also on the forum also mentioned the gender inclusive finance. Now, in experience, do Namibian women face different financial barrier than men? What are those barriers if they do?
So that was also a discussion I was able to listen to during the forum. Is providing access to finances for women in particular.
Yeah.
Because as I learned through the forum, apparently there's a big notion that lending for financial institutions to lend to women, they see them as that they don't have collateral essentially. So there's a big discussion happening around breaking that stigma and making sure that women in particular are given access to these services as well. They've developed various organizations that are catered towards funding female-owned businesses, helping women start their businesses, you know, taking them through financial literacy courses and things like that. So it's a continental problem as well as it is a Namibian problem. And so, that's one of the big topics that the forum is taking on, is to make sure that women are included in the discussion when it comes to financial inclusion as well.
Yeah. And the other topic was the inclusive green finance. I read it some on the list of the topics there. For a Namibian farmer dealing with, let's say, for example, with drought or climate change, what could that possibly mean in practice?
So there was a topic about green financing, inclusive green financing. And the deputy governor of the Bank of Namibia had a discussion about how Namibia is tackling this, because it's been a very big problem when it comes to climate. You know, drought is a result of climate change, and it's something that we've obviously been experiencing at historic levels in Namibia as of late.
Yeah.
And so the Central Bank, Bank of Namibia, has created an environment to give relief to all our farmers that are experiencing issues through drought. So, you know, all the local banks, whether that's your FNBs, your Standard Banks, your Nedbank, Bank Windhoek, have all released a form of green bonds, and they've raised, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars through that, and that is to help to give credit relief to the farmers so that, you know, through times of drought, they don't have to go bankrupt to pay back any loans that they're receiving. So the central bank is working hard to combat the effects of climate change and create facilities or create services that accommodate the situation that the farmers are in.
Now, okay, this is a personal question. In your opinion, what is the most exciting innovation you have seen that could truly help advance financial inclusion here in Namibia? Have you seen any exciting innovation you have that that you can say, yes, this truly can help advance financial inclusion here in Namibia?
I think, well, the one I just mentioned now about the green financing that the central bank is focusing on as of late.
Yeah.
That's something that I previously wasn't too aware about, but I think that's been a great innovation.
Yeah.
You know, creating a solution that's very specific to Namibia, considering the climate that we are under, and you know how many people are reliant on the agriculture sector. So I think the green financing for me has been probably the most impactful discussion that's been happening here.
Yeah. Now, if we get financial inclusion right, you know, if we get it right, let's say, for example, get it right, what could a more financial inclusive Namibia look like in, let's say, for example, in the next 10 years or 5 years?
I think a financially inclusive Namibia is a Namibia where everyone has access to, at very minimum, the basic financial services, where, you know, where we don't hear stories about someone not having access to capital simply because they don't live near a bank, for example, or simply because that they don't live in Windhoek, in Swakop, in Ondangwa, or anything like that. So, financial inclusive Namibia to me looks like Mongolia, like I just explained, everyone has access to capital, where that's not a barrier to life.
All right.
Yeah.
And lastly, probably for everyone listening today, what is one simple piece of advice you would give them, you know, to start their own journey towards being more financially included? I was talking just to Anonymous now, you know, mm-hmm. before I get to you. So how can individual now start their own journey towards more financially included and empowered?
I think that the number one thing is to start with seeking out information. So whatever sector you are doing business in, or you don't even have to be doing business, is to simply seek out the information that will help you become financially inclusive. If you're in a situation where you maybe don't even have a bank account, look up what is required for you to get a bank account. Or if you're a farmer experiencing drought, look up what services are available to help you in your situation. There's many tailor-made solutions for different segments of the population, which has also been a big topic of conversation, is providing tailor-made solutions for each country. You know, we discuss Africa sometimes as one country, and one point of discussion that they mentioned here at the forum is that they need to be tailor-made solutions for each country. You know, what works in South Africa may not necessarily work in Namibia.
Yeah.
And it's the same on an individual level. What works for, you know, a business owner in Windhoek might not work for a farmer in Grootfontein, for example. So it's simply, I would say, to start with is seeking out information that is suitable to your particular situation.
Yeah. All right. So any other information or messages that you have that you deem very important for our listeners that I haven't asked you?
No, I think we covered the majority of it. There'll be a lot more coming from the forum today. The official opening has just begun now.
Mm.
So I encourage the listeners to stay tuned to Eagle FM, stay tuned to our social media pages to get more insights from the forum in the next, let's say, 24 hours.
All right. No, thanks for making time. And how's the weather in Swakop, man?
Yeah, the first few days it was a bit cold.
Yeah.
Now the sun is coming back out, so I think most people are now starting to enjoy the weather.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now that's great. So enjoy it, you know, while you are there. Yeah.
Thank you.
So thank you for making time to talk to us here on Unpacking the Day. Okay.
Thank you for having me.
All right. All right. That was my colleague and our business development manager, Hente Walenga. He's also taking part in the forum giving us, you know, the lowdown of what is happening and his own perspective and opinion on what is financial inclusion. So, all right. So we're trying to make it more relevant and very, 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 you know, basic to our men on women on the street and what is all this financial inclusion is all about. So now you're welcome to come through. And our telephone number, our line will be open now, and your reaction and your comment and your contribution. Telephone number 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you're welcome now to come through and have your contribution or your view or perspective or whatever you call it. Okay. So now you are welcome to come through.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana nungeshifaa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anangeshifaa ya Namibia, ombito mbwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Para omkwashi pareki uimwe po yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onara hita tuimwe. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oli aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Unpacking the Day. Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm good.
Yeah.
The topic is a very nice one for today. Financial inclusion.
Yeah.
Then they talk about the affordability of how you can afford to buy it. Is that inclusion? Look, I think people must learn how to put topics and the names properly.
Yeah.
No, we are all educated, eh? And they sometimes fooling people around it doesn't make sense. You know, you cannot tell people that financial inclusion, but you are telling people about how to have access to buy electricity. Then say accessibility.
Eh?
Mm. Accessibility utilization, whatever I might do. They might look for another topic. For a person who is in the village to be able to buy, eh? Electricity,
yeah,
with her or his or her own money. Because the moment you say inclusion, it means this person must have access to money.
Yeah.
Is it? Not to electricity. Electricity is not for free. He's going to use the money to buy electricity. So are you going to give this person money to buy electricity?
Yeah.
So, because you are saying inclusion, you know, if you say financial inclusion, we should not talk about it. How to access services using services that we need to purchase. But, you know, always the devil is always in the pudding. You know, the shepherd takes care of the sheep.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
But the sheep is always scared to be eaten by the hoof. Eh?
Mm.
But the sheep is not scared of the shepherd. Who eats the sheep? Who eats the sheep?
Mm.
Is it? So the person who is telling you is the one who is going to gain out of you. Now they're using the wrong term, because when I go to the bank and put the money in the bank, is it for free?
Nope.
Who gains between me and the bank?
Now. While you are there, just this is also something out for anyone who's listening, and they can come and answer and there. Now, when we're talking about financial inclusion, and I'm actually adding to your point, when you talk about financial inclusion, then is this because the bank is actually putting out their product? These are products that they're putting out there. You know, whether easy wallet or whatever the other things, or you'll be able to pay those things they charge you. Is that Is that the financial inclusion, or is just that these are their product that actually they are marketing?
They are selling their products.
So what is the difference there? Yeah.
Yes, the question is, how is it possible on earth, 60 countries in their right minds, selling as the idea? These people are paid, man. Come on.
No, that's...
They
that's...
want to come and get our money in the form of... you see, that's why I've used the analogy of a shepherd and the sheep and the hoof. The sheep is scared of a hoof. We are told if you keep your money at home, the thief will come and steal it. Bring it to the bank so the bank can take its full share from your proceeding.
Yeah.
If you keep $200 in the account for 3 months and you want to go get that $200, will you find it?
You won't find the $200 anymore.
Yes. So if I get the same $200 and I keep it in my room and I come after 5 months, will I find the $200?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So who is lying? Who is telling lies here? Because I'm told if I keep money in my home, the thieves will come and steal it. If I take it to the bank, it will be safe.
The bank will steal it.
So now you understand what is my analogy. So we should stop. No, this is another century. People are smart. And people can understand, they analyze. Go to that place where they are talking financial inclusion. Who is there? These are businesses.
Yeah.
Do you see a villager there? Would they even allow you?
Yeah.
You want to talk about me, how I'm going to access your fund.
Mm.
But I'm not part of that.
Mm.
You are the one who is talking on my behalf. How?
Yeah, that's interesting.
But the services I have to access, which you are talking on my behalf, is your services.
Mm.
Yes. So, look, I like Ben Carson's concept of saying one day we'll realize that it's the government that have put us where we are in the poverty. Now, it's not the government in terms of, let me say, any government, but it's the financial institutions. The moment they see that you are going to progress, they realize, this guy is going to be financially independent.
Yeah.
Let's go and tell him, restructure your finances. Restructure your debt. You restructure this. Restructure that. To restructure, in whose benefit are we restructuring?
Yeah.
Currently, they are speaking about financial inclusion. I did not see anything about financial inclusion with the guy who spoke and the last one you quote who said the Singapore, what.
Yeah.
People make their own money. Then you want the way to access that money. So who should now... financial inclusion. It's them. Yes, they want to include them, include financial inclusion, including in the rural areas where we trade in cash, hard cash.
Yeah.
So they want to come and have that access to that small money. It's like a network. The minister will be talking about, we want to have, Namibia must have a coverage of how much? 100% with all mobile communications, all companies, whatever. The same minister doesn't enforce any policy or law that says, guys, infrastructure sharing must have happening. Because for us to achieve this goal, we need to share the infrastructure. So we don't want, if how much we have, we say, okay, if telecom let's look at Namibian, pure Namibian company, telecom and MTC, you have, let's say, 2 billion to invest.
Yeah.
Now, if you are going to one area, one guy must go to that area, then you share. The other one must go shoot into another area, then you share. Then, you see, we are expanding the resources so that by that time we are going to achieve. Now, you want to say that if I build my tower here, MTC cannot come here after 6 months, or 2, 3 years, or 4 years. But you are the minister who is governing that, and you have got a goal to achieve. You say, this, I want to achieve 100% by 2030.
Yeah.
Communication. And everybody should have 4G or 5G by then.
Yeah.
But the way you are rolling out the infrastructure, you are duplicating. You are the one who is promoting duplicate.
Yeah.
Is it? So, that's what
I'm saying. But the other angle is also... you know, historically, historically, black people were not, let's say, for example, the the banking services were only in town and all that. Now, if you put up a banking branch in a Nana, for example,
mm-hmm.
now you're actually saying you're making actually the service available to, is that now financial inclusion? You know, but it's not. The reason is that this is actually the service that they, you owe them. It's not that it's because they were supposed to have, supposed to have that service already. It's not like, you guys are making,
I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah, now, you know, you see, we are doing this extra now, you know, which supposed not to be there. That's a service that should have been there already.
Exactly. Why don't we have ATMs in rural areas?
Yeah.
Eh? Let's go to the area called Omdaungiro. Let's go to the area called Katwitwi. Let's go to the area called let's say for example Dorin or some, even I think even Betani here.
Yeah.
Yes. There's nothing like that. Why? They'll tell you it's not economically viable.
Mm.
Why? Because they say, no, the customers who are there are few. If the investment is not good, not, there won't be any return. What is the reward return? Return means you should make profit. And if you cannot make profit, then there is nothing you can do. So then how do you call it financial inclusion? Is it? It's not financial inclusion. It's you who is selling your own product.
Yeah.
Yes. There is nothing. These people must not think we are... because they went to it's like a lawyer who says he doesn't like crime, eh?
Yeah.
But he represents a criminal.
Yeah.
You know, this is genuine.
Yeah. No, I get the point. I get the point.
We will sit in an office and say we don't condone crime. Yeah. But he goes and represents a criminal.
Yeah.
And even defend the criminal to a point that the criminal wins the case. So who is fooling who?
Yeah.
Eh? Uh-huh. Let's just know that we are doing all these things for our own benefit, not for other people's benefit.
Yeah.
Yes. The lion hunts for its lions, the cubs. Eh?
Mm.
So the guy who is doing financial inclusion, he's doing it for his own benefit and his children.
Yeah.
Yes, so let's stop putting us around. Go ask them if it's financial inclusion. Eh? If you take $100, the village always in the village, rural area, he keeps his $100 for a month or 2 months. Eh? And the other one takes that same $100, puts it in the bank. Who is having his $100 at the end of the day?
Mm.
That gives you the answer. Thank you.
All right. No, thank you for coming through.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. Unpacking today. Good morning.
Yes, Mike. Sorry to come back again. I just wanted to say that if we use this measure as financial inclusion now, right? Then we can also say that the prostitute, if she says, "Come and use my services, I want to include you in sexual inclusion." Then the farmer comes and says, "No, come and be included in the agricultural inclusion. Buy my vegetables."
You guys are cracking me today, man.
So that is exactly what is happening. The gentleman is right.
Yeah.
That's what they are doing. They are saying, "Come and pay for their services, and so that you can be included financially."
Yeah.
Financial inclusion, it's a word that sounds like you are being included to participate actively to your advantage. No, you are being encouraged to participate in their services.
Yeah, to access the service which they will charge you
for their advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
For their advantage. So I also want to include people to my business. Come and be included here.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
That is not inclusion. Just because I'm part of the thing in terms of using your services, it doesn't mean that I have any advantage. In fact, I'm at a disadvantage.
Mm. Well, there are advantage. Of course, there are advantage. But the intention...
No, let's talk financially. Let's talk financially.
Yeah.
The advantages of maybe it makes it easier for money to be taken away from me. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because I've got to pay bills. I can pay people with easy wallet. Those are advantages, I mean, and we appreciate those things. That's why we pay for them,
yeah.
Right? But don't be facetious. Don't be funny.
But the thing is that it's a service that are available that I pay for it. You know?
Yes, of course. But you cannot now say that I'm included in the economy at a certain level because of that. And that's the implication that it gives, or the connotation that it gives. Like you are suddenly now being included in the economy at a certain level. In fact, sometimes the advantage is it's more advantageous to be operating in cash.
Mm.
And it's because of when you are in those rural areas or wherever you are, people want cash immediately. Now I have to send you e-wallet, but I don't have airtime. I must first buy airtime. Now NTC has just benefited in this transaction. I want to pay you, right? And I've got to pay NTC so that I can pay the bank, so that I can pay you.
The way I want to see it is like, let's say for example, we historically as SME, we have no access to funds. And then someone comes and said, look here, collateral is not an issue anymore. We go away with that, and we will provide you money, and we will monitor you and mentor you. Now, that I would say, yeah, you have actually moved something that has prevented me previously to access money. Now, you have come up with something that now, you know, take away the burden. So, but in this here, you're just providing the services as is you're providing to anybody. There's no difference. An ATM in a rural area, it charges the same the same charges as the one in Windhoek. So
yeah, exactly.
How is that a financial inclusion?
If they wanted to include people, and I know that FNB at some point had this the scheme where if you had a business, you can keep a certain cash float. And then people can come and withdraw from your business.
Yeah.
And there was a small markup or a small win that you could get because they'd give you, the bank would give you a little bit of an interest there. So the person comes to your business, say for instance, you have a cooker shop and you are deep in the rural area, and then what you'd be a bank proxy basically. Yeah. You'd have a machine, they would basically withdraw there and you'd give them the money cash from your petty cash now, right? And then there will be some sort of a return for you on that.
Yeah.
That is financial inclusion.
Yeah.
Mm. That is financial inclusion, but not the other things that they're talking.
Okay, let's see who's coming on again.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Very good morning to you. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Who is the main sponsor of financial inclusion that is taking place in Europe?
So who are these bodies? That's actually far. We have, locally we have Bank of Namibia. What is the other one? NAMFISA also involved? The other institution is a global one, yeah.
Yes, the other institution is Commercial Bank.
Bank Windhoek, I think. Is it that?
Yes, Commercial. Yeah, we say Commercial Bank.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Do you know why Commercial Bank sponsor that kind of event?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
One of the reason why they sponsor that kind of event, because that is a platform for them to advertise their product.
Yeah.
Okay, they have a product that they want to sensitize the nation. They realize that people are not really buying their product, and now they try to find a way. And in this case, it's a pity that the Bank of Namibia is in agreement with them.
Yeah.
Okay, it is purely for their product. And now, and then the next question that I want to ask, do we have our own definition of financial inclusion?
Yeah. So like some of us are coming up with different way looking at it, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit this.
No, it does not fit.
Yeah.
The definition of financial inclusion from the commercial bank perspective is different from the citizen. Okay? It's different from the citizen. They are using the wrong, like one of the callers said, they are using the wrong term.
Yeah.
Okay, it cannot be referred to as a financial inclusion. It does not fit if one now asks go in detail. Why am I saying that? Do you know that in our society, the higher you go, the more money you make, the more you get benefit from the commercial bank. A commercial bank can give you a credit card for 100,000, and I can use that 100,000 with no and pay no interest, provided that I settle it within a prescribed time. That 100,000, okay, something came up today, I need to quickly go to the north, I take my credit card, I pull up my car, I'll go to the north and do whatever I want to do, come back, take all the balance that I use, and then I'll pay zero interest rate.
Yeah.
Now the question is, the people on the street, the poor people, do they have that privilege?
Definitely not. Okay. First, you don't even have a bank account.
No, let us speak about those who have a bank account.
Yeah.
Do all these people have
that bank account is actually in the menace, you know? you already owe the bank. You won't dare even. You are running away from the bank. You don't even dare to go and ask.
I feel pity for, you know, I was listening to my friend Elvin when you were interviewing him.
Yeah.
You know, he has to give the what is financial inclusion based on what is provided by the banks, by his employers, and by whatever. There's nothing he can do. That is what is the definition of financial inclusion. Either he agree or he does not agree, he has no choice.
Yeah.
But to be honest, that is not financial inclusion. Because a rich man will go and use, as I say, the example of the credit card. They go and use the bank's money, come, pay back, and settle that, and they're free, and their life goes on. But we have people maybe that are selling, those that are having, maybe we should do a bit of research.
Yeah.
Everyone that opened a bank account, are they given overdraft, automatic overdraft?
They are not, yeah.
Okay, but do you know that when you reach a certain level of income, when you just open an account, they are forcing you to have overdraft.
Yeah.
A facility. It's not to have a facility called overdraft.
Overdraft.
Meaning, when you run out of your cash, you can still access the bank's cash to do what you want to. Is that available for everyone?
It is not, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that is where we need to start. When these people, they should start, they should stop thinking that we are stupid.
Yeah.
We are not stupid. We understand.
And financial inclusion would be then, for me, would be then, okay, there are a group of people who this facility is not available because of this reason. Let's remove that reason. Let's remove that barrier. So to make that available, maybe we put up a mechanism that monitor and see how they use that fund. So then when you're just talking, as I said, for me, when you're providing the service you're providing in Windhoek Central is the same that you're providing it in Enana or where, how is that the financial inclusion? It doesn't make any difference.
It does not make any difference. Because for me, is that if we talk of financial inclusion, you say, okay, everyone that opened the bank account, you are given an overdraft facility maybe of 2,000 or 3,000. Yeah. And then, based on how you use that facility, it can be removed from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can have a situation like that. It's okay. Everyone has the access. It's only those who misuse it, then it's cut off.
Exactly.
And those who use it well, then they are allowed to enjoy that benefit. But now, people with these accounts, small accounts that don't have a lot of money, they don't have those facilities. And they are the ones that are funding those guys with a lot of money. Because remember, everyone pays the cost. And now, when I use the 100,000 from the commercial bank and I don't pay any interest rate, how do the bank make their money? They make their money by charging the lower income people the cost of transaction and all these things they are the ones that are funding those rich guys.
Yeah.
So, please, I think...
I don't know who mentioned it. One of the caller mentioned that, you know, they are discussing financial inclusion. It means, you know, you as the people in the rural area, how will make this, how do we make these services available to you? But there are no people from rural area.
They will not allow you to go there.
There are no people from rural. You are discussing a service for people who are not even, you are not even including them in the discussion of the service that you say you provide, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a pity, man. Okay, that's all what I wanted to say, man.
No, thanks, man, for coming through and for your contribution, yeah.
Okay.
A very good morning to you. This is Unpacking Day, and we're talking about financial inclusion this morning. And if you are listening to the interview that we had, access, literacy, protections, that are the some of the of this what financial inclusion is all about, you know, and also talking to our own Hende on, because he's also at the forum and giving us also what is being discussed and how does that can be, you know, applied in our day-to-day life. Very good morning. Come through if you want to. And our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. Now, much of the contribution, it's really touching on, as I said, on this article that's also looking at financial justice, the financial justice. And also, we earlier, maybe just give a little bit of that background. But you can come through at any time, even if I'm bringing in some other ideas as well. So earlier this year, the Bank of Namibia, together with the Ministry of Finance and the Namibia Financial Institution Supervisory Authority, NAMFISA, you know, launched the Namibia financial sector transformation strategy from 2025 to 2035. Yeah? So it's about 10-year, you know, this bold 10-year blueprint is designed now to modernize, localize, and democratize, you know, our financial system, aiming for the ambitions. The ambition is that 95% of financial inclusion for the national population, 95%, and 75% for the rural communities by 2030 and 2035. And this is what we're talking about now. But as the strategy rightly point out, this is not just about expanding. Apparently, this is not just about expanding access. It's about deepening meaningful usage, you know, deepening meaningful usage and ensuring financial services translate into real, tangible benefit for all Namibians. So now that's for you now to evaluate and to assess. If that's the case. But what is the strategy is all about? It to make sure that financial services translate into real tangible benefits of all Namibians. And it's about empowering underdeserved community, turning into, like now, into informal activity, into formal opportunity, and ensuring finance act as a foundation for economic growth. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Bona.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good. Yes, this percentage that you just quoted.
Yeah, the one 95 and whatever.
75, yeah.
And 75 for the rural communities.
Yes, you see. Can you now see how the rural communities are excluded from that?
Exactly.
Even though we have got a good budget. But like you say, we have also for many times now, even last week, about the financial exclusion. Oh, they are talking about financial inclusion.
Inclusion, yeah.
They are talking about financial exclusion. Because if you have the majority of the rural community, also, there's nobody who the rural community who doesn't have a bank account.
Yeah.
Nobody. So the adult, the young, the youth, everybody, whether it's through the post office or through whatever. But when it comes to this creation of wealth, through the basic service that they have, the basic banking service, you discover that they are not benefiting in terms of they having access to national security exchange.
Yeah. Can you stand for a while because the thing changes. Yeah, changes.
That they still have to go to.
Yeah, just for a while.
I'll call you back when.
Okay.
You
okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, we can't. The quality is not good. All right. So this strategy, this transformation strategy, is really to ensure that financial service translate into a real tangible benefits for all Namibians. Okay? So, and a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Tad Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, Mike.
Yeah.
Ah, you guys are making us laughing here, man. We are laughing.
Oh, no, this guy's been cracking me today, man.
Ah, talk about me, my friend. Because now, that type of things with our people are doing, I don't know really how they come up with this strategy.
Yeah.
Because now, look. You are talking about the financial inclusive.
Yeah.
But when you come, how many even our informal trades are there in that
forum? In that forum. Yeah.
I'm telling you, go there and then you see, you'll be surprised. The guys who are there are the ones who are presenting big companies.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you. Only big guns that are there. Definitely.
Only big guns, not even one cabana seller. Or even a taxi driver. Or maybe we are doing what needle workers. No, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's a big guns. Then they are saying they are inclusive, financially inclusive. How?
Yeah.
On earth. And now we are talking about even like a digital currency.
Yeah.
Okay, now, as a Namibian, how many of us we are using that? Especially when it comes to rural area, maybe in Windhoek it can be done, but in the rural area, how many of them they are really going to benefit out of that? We are talking about people don't have electricity. You're talking about even sometimes the network is jack.
Yeah.
Because now we remember that kind of thing is heavy to be charged.
Yeah. So first of all, it depends where you are, because if your network is a 2G. Or a 3G, you will struggle to do anything
How many current are going to help?
You will try to download something. By the time you want to download, your credit is finished. Without even downloading.
What I'm telling you is sometimes the way we are singing, it's very laughable, seriously. And the thing is also, I think, who's the anonymous?
Yeah.
The first caller.
Yeah.
He said something very important. Only that you guys didn't follow up. But I'm telling you.
Which is?
How can a state having a land, but as a majority, we don't have a land? And then you are here representing the nation.
Yeah.
Ah, come on, man. Something is not really up to date. No. Maybe they are saying, we want to tell you the new product we are selling to you guys.
Mm.
So, but if you are saying inclusive, no, we are not inclusive.
Now, for me, I would understand as that we have a new product, and this product is really, as I said, the product can help. I do. There are certain things that I don't need to go and queue up anymore. You understand?
Yeah.
I sit at my home. I pay my electricity. I pay certain things without moving an inch. I could have actually spent money going, you know, using petrol, going and coming back and, but, you know, but now to say financial inclusion, it's, it's like, as I said, you may have, this is what we have been excluded because of A, B, C, D. Now we have moved that. But if you tell me that you actually, now I'm making, I have brought an ATM.
You are part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I have brought an ATM in Enana or in somewhere on Dobe and or Congo. Now that is financial inclusion. No. This is services that, you know, you have been denying us. It should be there.
Eh? Exactly.
You owing us that service. So you kind,
now
you kind of like said,
doing
no,
a favor for us.
Yeah, it's kind of like no, this is not, this is, I'm including you in a financial transactions now by bringing, no, you should, should have been there. It's a requirement that it should be there. Yeah?
If it was, if they are saying even that, maybe if it was a free of charge, then we understand. But now it will come with a cost also.
Yeah. So that's why, man, if it's coming or Congo, and it's just the same as the charges in Congo is the same as in Windhoek, then how is this a financial inclusion? No, you're just providing your services.
Exactly.
Charging as much as you charge. How is that different?
No, man. That's what I'm telling you. And then now, even in that process, when it comes to digital currency, we become a slave. Because remember one thing, that is no more money involved. These are just the numbers. Number which you can see, and somebody was stealing that detail.
Yeah,
is charging more. We are going, me and you and our government, we are going to pay more to that person.
Yeah,
who is going to provide us a digital numbers which we are seeing in our screen, which we are going to use instead of maybe going back to our barter system, where if you are having more mango, I'll give you a goat.
Yeah.
And come and take it.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's just a number.
Yeah.
It's just a number. There's no more hard cash. You see? It's what I'm saying. No, as a Namibian, what benefit are we getting out of that we bring people for formula? What is there for us as a Namibian?
Yeah.
That is a question I think you have to ask them.
Yeah. So there are benefits there, but sometimes it's a benefit for those who have.
It's very small, man. It's very small.
Yeah, for the
hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But exactly. To those who are up already there, we're already having money. At least they'll benefit. Because remember one thing.
It's like someone who gave an example of an overdraft. It's a service that's available, but is it available to everybody?
No.
No, it's not. Then how is that financial inclusion? You know?
No, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you are talking about financial inclusion, maybe you can start talking about, like, even some of us, we've been paying for what? This, what do you call this funeral or what? Insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, forever and ever, but you don't get anything. You just wait until you turn 60 or you die. What is this now? When are they going to be, when are we going to be also financial inclusion when it comes to our what? Benefit before I die, at least I am getting something. I can even expand my business.
Yeah.
It's hard time also to be also inclusive for when it comes to us to pay insurance, which we don't get anything at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You wait until you die or you wait until you turn 60. It's where they are paying a small amount of money.
Yeah.
But for now, if you put all that money which I contribute with my funeral service, which I'm going to get 7,000 or whatever, 9,000 or 15.
Yeah.
It's not a hard time also to give me a loan so I can come up, so I can pay more. I can increase my hair to even 100,000.
Yeah.
No, man.
The issue I have is that when they said this is not just about expanding access, it's about deepening a meaningful usage and ensuring financial services translated into real tangible benefit for all Namibians. Then that's where I have a little bit of a problem. Then I,
not all of our Namibians.
When you're saying we're just actually expanding our access, or we are modernizing our facilities, we're localizing and we're democratizing it, that I can agree. But now to say, to make it the service more translated to a real tangible benefit for all Namibians in terms of creating wealth, no, definitely not.
Not at all. And I remember one thing that, you know, as Uncle Obane was talking about, like even like everybody in command, in communal, rural area, they're having account in one. Not a lot of them.
Yeah.
I can even give an example in Windhoek. Go to Chinatown. Yeah. The people, they are still getting what? Their money in what? Envelope.
Envelope,
Chinatown. Because they don't have an account.
Mm.
They cannot keep an account because the money is too little. You might end up going to owe the what?
Yeah, the problem, a person may have, he might have actually an account, but the account isn't dormant. You know?
Because you have minus 2, you have minus 20, you have minus 200.
You don't put money on there, you know?
Exactly.
Where do you get money to put on? For what? You know?
If the money is coming and you
withdraw them. Money is coming and it's going.
It's gone that time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, let me give that people just, but seriously, they're making us laughing when you come financial inclusion. No.
Yeah. I think, like someone who said, that they are using the wrong word. I'm also definitely, there's financial inclusion, you know, they should use another one. Yeah.
Something else, yeah. All right, Mike.
Great, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. This is your daily dose of the headlines of what is happening in and around the country. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, now you are on a stable area. Okay.
They are saying that when you look at mobile industry.
Yeah.
And you look at those people, the percentage that I mentioned that have got access to the basic banking service.
Yeah.
That's why I'm using that word deliberately, basic banking service.
Mm.
And when you look at that report where you draw your 75%.
Yeah. This is the financial, the Namibia financial sector transformation strategy by Joe
Pangwe.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is what I've been talking about. So when you look at this, the percentage of those people who have got their accounts with financial institutions, they are eligible to access to invest their money into national Namibia Security Exchange, the nation.
Mm.
But the reason why they are not having that opportunity to invest, not all necessary because of the lack of digital information or whatever.
Yeah, facilities.
Okay, that is one of them.
Facilities, yeah.
That's one of them because if you are to now get to Windhoek, because if you make up a comparison, the urban the residents and the rural residents, you discover that the population in the rural areas, their money that they are investing, some of them have got district 2 notice and have got a lot of, you know. So they are not translated into the benefit that you can get from the, if you are to invest in Namibia's stock exchange.
Mm.
So that's what I'm talking about.
So they are not actually bringing them wealth, you know. Mm.
They are not creating wealth, that's what we are saying. Mm. But they have got their money there. And they are also the majorities. The few ones who are not banking, fine, that one we understand. Maybe their account is dormant. Like I said, many, those like the percentage that they came up with there, they have got access to this thing, basic ones. But we want, the idea is, the aspiration is to, for them to start creating wealth through those facilities that are there. Maybe South Africa, what do you call it, this Johannes Exchange?
Stock Exchange, Stock Exchange, yeah.
This is London, what exchange. So, and there are a lot of investments, like these brokers, you know, this insurance company.
Uncle Bonner, that, while you're mentioning that, you know, do, who actually should be, because the other person that I interviewed talking about literacy, whose responsibility is really to make now your populace understand this kind of facility so that they can make use of it?
The way we are doing it here, and the way we are saying, if you look at that thing, they are talking about 100% companies, technological companies like MTC and all this, they have penetrated the market to 100%.
Yeah.
So now, whose responsibility is that? It's for all of us.
Yeah. So what I'm
so the government is, they are also doing that,
yeah,
but you know, maybe at the limited scale.
Yeah.
But when you create a sensitization, awareness, like you are doing here through the radio and many other people that you are bringing,
yeah,
then we can also then identify, because I haven't heard the really barriers that are there to be shorted out. But when you look at the legal framework, you can sign your document even when you are in your poor.
Yeah.
Those signatures are now popularized, that yes, or do they have some institution where you have to come to Windhoek, traveling from Opuo, to come and sign some documents? Or maybe loan, you want to, I don't, maybe some, those are some of the challenges that are there, but we seriously need to know that, yes, what are the issues that are hindering people to get into that?
Exactly. So I'm looking at, when you mentioned stock exchange, like Johannesburg Stock Exchange, Namibia, let me just say Namibian Stock Exchange. How many of us that know that we can actually invest in this as an individual or as an institution, whatever. Those information, it might be there, but, you know, it might not even in the language. If they are there, they are in financial language, which many of us maybe don't, especially now people that we're talking in the rural area might not understand, but they may have the capital coming from their farming that they are doing, but they don't have this information.
You know what? That's why there is a need for deliberate kind of campaign to create campaign. You know how they did with this adult literacy?
Yeah.
So it was a campaign. Now, and this one is because there is a pillar. We are committed. We are obligated to do that. So there must be some kind of creation of awareness programs going on and things like that, as you are doing, deliberately, so that people can then, because I heard of some of the areas where they put on some, you know, this mobile network kind of things.
Yeah.
But when the thing is elected in your village, do you understand the purpose of it?
Mm.
That you can make use of banking, digital banking and whatever, things like that. So I think it's a corrective action that need to be taken.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming through.
Good.
Well, time, it's about 56 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 4 minutes before we come to the end of our financial inclusion discussion at this very morning. So please do come through and upate kongone. So, Todrungone Kuya and the Topateko. So, 08333 0891. You know, anyone, 08333 0891. Even if you were here before and you want Kupatakos, so you can come through. Yeah. So, all right. There was this, as I said, this editorial that I wanted to go into, which summed up, it has actually highlighted some of the things that you guys have been talking about here. So one of the things is that is this offer, when we talk about, you know, talking about it, if we are being offered a really inclusion, or it's just a formalized poverty, like most of you actually talked about. Is it, are we being offered a real inclusion, or it's just formalized poverty? And think about it in this way. So, which some of you are alluding to already in your discussion. You are a vendor in Katutura or any other. A bank convinces you now. The bank convinces you now to open one of those easy account. All right. So now, great. You are now financially included, isn't it? Now you are financially included, but you hardly use it because you work with cash. Yeah. If you are a vendor, you work with cash. You hardly actually use it. And when you do, you see those small charges actually eating away your balances, you know. Now those charges are eating your balances when you do. So you're not making money. You're actually losing money by having that easy account. So the account sit there dormant, as we have said, but it's another number on the bank's report. It's another number on the bank's report, making them look good. That's you know, how many people that when we hear all those statistics then. So, and what about the mobile wallet? Good, fantastic, you know, great. Those are facilities, good facilities for sending money. If I'm in Windhoek and sending money somewhere in the north or wherever. But does that translate? This is when does that transfer now I'm doing create new wealth? It doesn't. Or does it just move existing money around? Manage transaction